What is this? What is this?
This is the On God.
Sweet.
God gang, welcome. Welcome back to my Lover series, where I'm covering topics to do with love, dating, and matters of the heart this month of February. This special series started with the talking stage episode. Then I talked about Riz, romance, and seduction in the last episode. In this episode, I've prepared a special salad. You can call me Chef Rodney today. And if you know anything about salads, they're typically made up of three layers: the vegetable base, the proteins, and the healthy fats. The base of this episode is the dating pool and how y'all love to hate on it. It's always somebody complaining about the dating pool, and so I think it's time to address it. This base sets us up for the protein of this episode, which has to do with love languages. I've had thoughts for the longest time. It's been years since I wanted to address this on this podcast. Finally, we're here. Real ones know. Heads up, I think they are sort of kind of a scam. So many dumb things have been done and said in the name of love languages. So we're going to address that. Then comes the healthy fats. This one is going to choke. It is about how people who ain't shit think they're the prize. Nah, for real, you laugh, but I'm on some real shit right now. So I'm going to talk about that, and then I'll get to the fact that being the prize is not even the flex y'all think it is. So that's the salad I'm serving. And I use the salad analogy because there's so much junk, so many unhealthy ideas about love and dating. And y'all have consumed and internalized all that junk to the point that you've become so out of shape, so unattractive. I'm speaking metaphorically, of course, in keeping with my salad analogy. I'm offering a salad because y'all need to be put on a diet. And I picked these three aspects of dating because they affect the quality of our love lives on the low. We don't even know. We think it's just gist. We think it's just banter. But our opinions on these things matter. They translate directly into our thoughts, attitudes, and actions. Fam, if you're not getting the results you want out of your dating experience, this is for you. Try my salad. Taste it. Share it with your friends and family. There's enough to go around. It contains everything you need to return to a healthy size and become your best self in the dating game. If this is your first salad, you may not like the taste, but I promise it's good for you. You're gonna hear things you never considered. Some might be unpopular, some will challenge the core of who you are, and some will hit so close to home, you would think I'd be sneak peeking into your love life. As you listen, please resist the urge to fight. You don't have to agree with anything you hear, but you owe it to yourself to at least consider them objectively. Think of this as an opportunity to reflect. I promise, everything is love. I come in peace, to talk, to share, and to help where most others do not. I hope sincerely that this salad offers you some much-needed food for thought. Pun intended. I also recommend that you pair this salad with a bottle of wine, some tea, or coffee. Oh, and have a notebook and pen on standby, because bars galore. Oh my God, you're not ready. My name is Rodney Omolkache, and you're welcome to The Young God, a podcast for gods.
Yeah. Stand back, got to talk. Watch calls.
Just a heads up, I am loving this salad analogy, and I'm going to milk it all the way. Lego. The base of this salad is the dating pool. That collective makeup and net quality of the eligible bachelors and bachelorettes within a given area, city, or community, aka the streets. I find it funny when single people blame the dating pool for their woes. And I feel bad. Not for them, for the pool. The poor pool can't talk back, it can't defend itself. But I got time today. I will speak on behalf of the dating pool. First of all, may I remind you that you are a part of said dating pool. If you are single, you are in the pool. You are not on the edge, you are in it. 10 toes deep. You are part of it. So any hate you have for the dating pool is just you hating on yourself. Second, you can say all you want to say about the dating pool, but the thing about pools, or any body of water for that matter, is that they reflect you to you. In other words, the dating pool is a reflection of you. The dating pool is a reflection of your worldview, your expectations, your flaws, and your biases. The pool isn't the problem. The pool is what you make it. You need to adjust. You need to change. The problem is that you think the pool exists to satisfy your needs and tastes. Like the pool wasn't there before you and won't be there after you. You think you're too good, too cool for the pool. So does everybody else. You think you have the moral high ground. So does everybody else. You think you deserve a certain outcome or experience. So does everybody else. You think you're the prize. Guess what? So does everybody else. But I'll get to that in a moment. Everybody in every city talks shit about the dating pool in their city. But guess what? People are still finding the love of their lives within the very same pool you're hating on every day. People are enjoying themselves in the pool. It's a pool party out here. Granted, there are some assholes pissing and farting in the pool. But largely speaking, there are decent people in the pool. There is one exception, however. One city deserves no grace at all. I'm sure you can guess which it is. Lagos. That is not a pool. That's a swamp. A dirty, disgusting pool that hasn't been cleaned in decades. I can't blame anyone for complaining. Lagos is one of those cities where the majority of the single people are so jaded, so distrusting, so morally bankrupt, and so fake. Nothing beautiful grows there when it comes to matters of the heart. I don't know how they're surviving over there. The chances of finding something real are slim. The only people that thrive in that ecosystem are those who are unevolved and don't expect much from their relationships, from their love lives. So feel free to talk about the dating pool in Lagos, but in any other city in the world, Abuja for example, there is something for everybody. If you come correct, you will find what you want and what you need. The pool is the pool. You're just mad because you don't know how to swim. Meanwhile, some people have mastered the backstroke, the breaststroke, the butterfly, you name it. They're diving and doing tricks in the pool. And there you are in the shallow end, hating. Come on now. You gotta figure out what it is about you that keeps attracting what is bad for you, what you don't want. What is it about you that's got you dissatisfied? There are two types of people, mind you. One looks for a beautiful situation. The other makes a situation beautiful. If you are the former, you're gonna have a tough time in the dating pool. Also, life has a funny way of humbling us, of using our weaknesses against us. If you decide that you're this perfect angel and everyone else is trash, you're gonna keep getting trash until you humble yourself. Life will make it so that what you need will come in an unexpected package at an unexpected time. So that only when you have learned how to see and how to appreciate what is in front of you, you'll be able to get the gold. Think about it. The dating pool requires some level of humility for you to master it. If the pool was perfect, we'd all be cuffed and married. But the pool is the pool, made of different people with different needs, wants, tastes, and levels of understanding. It's up to you to be more patient, more forgiving, more grace-giving, and most importantly, more discerning. You need to be able to see beyond appearances, see beneath the surface of things, see beneath the surface of the pool. Perhaps you're looking at the pool on the surface level. There's a lot going on beneath you're not seeing. Many people are not what they appear to be, good or bad. You may have overlooked something good because it wasn't obvious. That's not on the pool. That's on you. Here's a hint about life in general. The moment you approach something with an air of superiority, without any curiosity, you will lose. Once you think you've seen it all, once you think you know it all, you lose it all. You will totally miss what the thing is trying to show and tell you. You will get copper instead of gold. Especially when it comes to people. You will be endlessly frustrated thinking life is working against you, when really, you're just a child throwing tantrums. So yeah, don't hate the pool or the swimmers. Learn to swim. If you work on yourself and become a truly amazing person, it won't even matter what is in the pool. You will always win. Trust me. But more on this point later. How's the salad so far? Is it giving? Is it? Anyway, hold that thought. Let's get to the protein, the meat of the episode. Pun intended. In 1992, a Baptist minister by the name of Gary Chapman released a non-fiction book called The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate. I bet you didn't know that the love languages we live and die by today are from a book written when I was 1 year old. The book was ahead of its time, apparently, because 21 years later, in 2013, the book spent 297 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. 21 years later? Oof. From that time, the idea of love languages penetrated mainstream social media culture, and suddenly, every first date started with the question, what's your love language? See where I'm going with this? Social media relationship experts did irreparable damage to the aforementioned dating pool with their interpretation of love languages after 2013. Quote me on that. Anyway, the book outlines five general ways that romantic partners express and experience love, which Chapman calls love languages. The languages are physical touch, acts of service, quality time, gift giving, and words of affirmation, aka compliments. According to Chapman's theory, each person has one primary and one secondary love language. Let me start by saying that I respect the author and his thinking. He is onto something. On the surface, the five languages make so much sense. I mean, I'm a physical touch guy, so for a while, I felt affirmed. But then I got wiser and applied critical thought. And then the flaws in the idea became apparent. You mean to tell me that the human mind can feel hundreds of emotions, but when it comes to love, there are only five languages? That doesn't sound right. How did they convince two generations that a unique, complex human being is limited to just five expressions of love?
People, it's time to stop believing bullshit. Just because a motherfucker tell you bullshit with a straight look on their face. We too old, we too smart, we too motherfucking good to believe shit don't make no fucking sense.
Word. And it isn't just me. Scientific studies on the validity of love languages have been inconclusive. All existing research leans towards refuting the concept. Trust me, I checked. To be clear, I am not disagreeing with the author completely. I believe there's some validity to the author's ideas. My main issue is that the five expressions are called love languages. If you know anything about love in the real sense, you would know that the five expressions have very little to do with love. Call them like languages or languages of affection. Those would be more accurate. And because they're called love languages, they essentially define what people expect love to be. And love is one of those things that your definition of it determines what you see and what you get. Tell me what you think about love and I'll tell you who you are. Now, you have a generation of people who think sex, speaking all the time, going out all the time, possession, obsession, infatuation, gifts and money equate to love. Those aren't love. Those are just vibes. That's why people have the nerve to say things like, love is not important in marriage. It's a slippery slope. You want to know what love really is? Respect, forgiveness, trust, sacrifice, commitment, having each other's back, having common goals, evolving together, communication and connection. Those are the real love languages. They touch the heart, warm the soul, and build intimacy on a higher plane. The only thing the five love languages do is scratch a short-term itch. In the long term, they don't bring you closer, they don't make you feel safe, and they don't make you feel seen.
That's right, I said it. I said it. It had to be said. Somebody got to say it.
Please forgive me for interrupting your vibe right now, but I just had to shout out the legendary Young God community on WhatsApp. That is an exclusive group where committed, consistent listeners of the podcast gather to share their thoughts on the themes discussed. If you would like to connect with me and other members of this community, you can join the group via the link in the description of this episode or via any of the links on my social media at IamTheYoungGod on Twitter and at TheYoungGodPod on Instagram. Do follow, do subscribe, do leave a review if you're enjoying this episode, share with your friends and fam, and now let's get back to the show. If you love meat, you are in for a treat, because there's still a lot of meat on this bone, and it is all going into the salad. So here's the most troubling thing about how the five expressions are being applied today. By my observation, they've become a tool for toxically narcissistic people to manipulate their partners.
If the shoe fits.
You have to understand the times we're in culturally. What a lot of people want out of a romantic relationship is attachment. They want a simp who will fill their childish needs, stroke their ego, and compensate for their insecurities. They don't want love. They say they do, but they won't even know love if it hit them in the face. In this day and age, if someone tells you their love language, you can almost always connect it to an underlying insecurity. It's basically a cheat sheet that says, if I give you X, Y, and Z, you will love me. And if you give me X, Y, and Z, I will love you. But guess what? You can't cheat sheet your way to love. All that amounts to is a low vibrational, codependent relationship whereby, even after their love language needs are met, they still feel empty. You can give a person all the gifts and sex and words of affirmation in the world, and they will still cheat, still fight over stupid things, still be unhappy. The conversation even gets more interesting when you get into the details of each love language and how toxic people use them to get what they want. Let's break it down, shall we? Acts of service is really just a license for toxic people to use their partner and get them to do things for them, especially things that are hard, things they don't like doing or don't want to do. People who have never really had someone look out for them, people who have had to take care of others from an early age, particularly their siblings, will immediately point to acts of service as their love language. Words of affirmation are really just an excuse to ask their partners to overload their fragile egos with constant praise, compliments, and reassurance. A person who has always been verbally diminished by their parents, teachers, or elder siblings will immediately latch onto words of affirmation as a love language. Extreme narcissists and people who have a praise kink also thrive on this language. Besides, a lie can be affirmed. Quality time is really just an excuse for lonely people to demand more attention and time from their partner so that they can attach themselves in an unhealthy manner, in a codependent manner. A person dealing with abandonment issues will believe that this is their love language. Now, the last two love languages, physical touch and receiving gifts, are the most out of place on the list because they have nothing to do with love in the deepest sense of the word. To me, the list became a scam the minute physical touch and gifts were involved. Physical touch is really just a justification for a manipulator to make sexual demands. It could also be an overcompensation for someone who wasn't held as a child or has a hypersexual streak after being sexually abused as a child. Oh, it gets deep, right? Receiving gifts. This is the one that has the biggest contention in the bone that's on the meat. This is a taker's favorite language. A person who was spoiled as a child or bribed with gifts to do basic things like chores might see gifts as their love language. It is their license to be materialistic, to get their material needs met. On the flip side, let's say you mean well and you really have an innocent approach to gifts. All it takes is a miscreant with time and money to take advantage of you. The fact of the matter is, everybody likes gifts. Everybody likes freebies. But guess what? Real love is knowing that it's better to give than to receive.
The harder you work on offering other people what they need and want, the more people will line up to play with you.
At this point, I believe I should reiterate that I appreciate what every expression means in a relationship. They're really nice things to experience at different times. I'm not saying that the love languages aren't valid. I'm not saying that what you like isn't what you like. However, if you live and die by your chosen love language, you open yourself to being abused and misled. Again, the love languages have very little to do with love. They do not mean that the person loves you. By the way, I found out that statistically, most men choose physical touch as their love language. And the ones that don't, do so because they don't want to come across as in it for the sex. Women, on the other hand, almost always choose gifts as their language. And the ones that don't, usually do so because they don't want to come off as materialistic. Again, this is not a general thing. If it doesn't apply to you, that's cool. But use your imagination. If you take anything from this episode, let it be this. The next time someone asks you about your love language, the right answer, the only answer, should be love. Love is my language. If you don't know how to love, you're not going to get the best of me. No low-hanging fruits over here. No cheat sheets. And when you break it down, love is really courage, trust, vulnerability, peace, understanding, kindness, attentiveness, and care. Because at the end of the day, love is supposed to bring out the best of you, not merely satisfy your basest needs. The only love language that anybody really needs and responds to authentically is to be understood, respected, and committed to. To be taken as you are, not taken care of. Ooh, that's a bar. Take notes, please take notes. Because what every human being really needs, deep down in their heart of hearts, is to be seen, to be known. That's a language that everyone understands more than anything. Wow. I think I've said all I have to say on the matter. I have waited ages to get this off my chest. I would love to get your thoughts on this. Feel free to mention me on social media, reach out to me via the DMs, or on the Legendary Young God community on WhatsApp. This is sure to start conversations. I cannot wait. Now for the final layer of this salad. The fatty layer, the idea of being the prize in the context of a relationship. Everyone thinks they're the prize, but some of you are the consolation prize or participation prize. There's bare niggas out here who have a totally unearned belief in their charm and their value, thinking that they're the prize. The prize mindset is bad because there are some people, particularly women, who think all they have to do is exist. They think it's the other person's job to entertain them, to prove that they're worthy of them, because they got face, boobs, and a butt, and a job maybe. Maybe she got money. For men, it's mostly money. Having money has niggas thinking that they can get away with being below average in other aspects of life. And maybe they are the prize in their circles. Maybe having body and money makes them the prize. But that all depends on the game you're playing. And one thing about the young god, I'm all about the game within the game in all things. So let me put you on game, okay? According to me, people fall under two categories: the prize and the gift. The prize is earned by playing stupid games, hunger games, insecure games. It's a competition-based mindset, whether it's between you and your partner or you and outside forces. Competition is the main thing. The prize wants to be worshipped and put on a pedestal. You can't do nothing with a prize or a trophy but look at it and put it on display for others. Sometimes the prize might even be a consolation prize. I'm here to tell you that being the prize is not the flex you think it is. But a gift, however, a gift is given freely. No competition, no games. A gift is usually something valuable you've always wanted or needed. It has real value and usefulness. It's a blessing that can bring out the best in the recipient. It's now up to the recipient of the gift to see the value or not. When the gift is not given the proper appreciation, when the gift is not used, it is taken away, it is lost. Here's how you know you're the gift. If you're one of one, as in there's nothing like you in these streets. If people change for you, yeah, people change for things they value. If people aren't changing for you, it simply means you ain't got it like that. You're a prize. You know you're the gift when you bring out the best in your partner, in people. Even their family members notice the impact you're making in their life. They will call you and tell you, bro, what are you doing to my sister, my brother? You're the gift if your partner can't believe what they found, if they think you're too good to be true. You're the gift if you leave them better than you found them. When you're the gift, you don't need to involve yourself in social media debates because you can't relate. Your situation is always different. You don't need to complain about the dating pool because you know that you're the X factor. You know that if you decide to pick someone and focus on them, all rules go out the window. You have confidence in your ability to pick people, connect with them, and bring them up to your level. You know that anybody, regardless of sexual orientation, would fuck with you, would be lucky to have you, be it Beyonce, Rihanna, or Denzel Washington.
Yes!
They would desire you if they met you, because you have things that every individual wants in their partner, whether they know it or not. While the prize looks for a beautiful situation, the gift is the beautiful situation. They've made that themselves. They're in it all the time. They are the philosopher's stone that can turn copper into gold. Make no mistake, being the gift has nothing to do with what you have, but everything to do with what you are. And the best part? There is social proof and evidence that the gift is indeed the gift. But the prize has to endlessly remind themselves and the world that they're the prize. They never shut up about it. Again, that's the thing about prizes. They need to be lifted to be seen and recognized. They need to be worn around the neck like a medal for everyone to see. But the gift just is. I say all of this so that you can really think about what you mean when you're saying you're the gift. Don't get caught up in the ego of your awesomeness, that you don't allow yourself to be known, that you push people away acting like a brat. We see you. You know yourselves. Your energy precedes you. Get off your high horse and get to know people. Show your value. Show how amazing you are. Don't sit back waiting for people to approach you or treat you like a princess. Don't be a liability. Be an asset. And watch how the right person will notice the gift that you are and treat you as such. But if you act like the prize and call yourself as such, you will only attract trophy hunters who will put you on a shelf the minute they're done with you. Know this and know peace. Let's take a moment to pause and breathe. Relieve the tension. Whatever you're doing, close your eyes, take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. One more time. In through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's resume. And there you have it. That's my salad. The dating pool, love languages, and the prize. That's my base, my protein, and my fats. The most unusual of ingredients to make any salad. No chef, no kitchen in the world has got it like this. Feel free to add your choice of dressing and toppings, but as is, you are getting a complete healthy meal that will do wonders for your heart. If you're listening on Spotify, please partake in the poll asking which layer resonated the most for you. Please drop your answers. I'm trying to see something. And if you notice, I don't know if you did, but if you notice, nothing I said in this episode is placing blame on either gender. Most other conversations out there focus on one gender being the problem and the other being the victim. That's a low-hanging fruit. And like I always say, we don't do that around here. Rather, I'm focusing on the ideas that shape how the genders act in relationships. If we can shift our mindsets about people, about love, and manage our egos better, we will see amazing things happen in our love lives. Trust me. If you're not getting the results you want out of your dating experience, examine your opinion on all these things. I cannot understate the unintended consequences of internalizing ideas without properly reflecting on where you really stand and what you really want. Whether we know it or not, these things affect the quality of our dating lives in ways we can't imagine. Hell, they affect every aspect of our lives. The quality of your dating life is connected to your sex life, your mental health, your mood, your appetite, your work, and your courage to take risks in other aspects of your life. It gets deep, fam. Everything is connected, so it helps to have a holistic approach. So yeah, your ability to connect with people and create Hall of Fame relationships depends on how you approach these three facets. At the end of the day, you will end up with the love life you deserve. No cheat sheets. With all of that said, it is my sincere hope that, beyond the triggering nature of my words and ideas, you get some clarity about your past and present dating adventures. That you unearth something that helps you understand where you faltered and where you can improve. This is your reminder that there's a community on WhatsApp where we discuss episodes, and this is sure to be a hot one. You can join in via the link in the description of this episode or on the links in my social media bio. Thanks again for listening, for indulging me, for tasting my salad. Please share, leave a review, and I'll be seeing you next week for the final episode of the Lover series. Here's a hint about what to expect. If this episode is all about what love isn't, the next episode is about what love is. And this is The Young God.
It's got talk. It's got talk. Let God talk.
It brings some excitement to the word of God.